Today is Saturday, the 20th of November, 2021, and we are all gathered here for the session on mindfulness for beginners in English. This is the 8th session. I would like to warmly welcome, with permission to speak Bante's name, Venerable Bante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero, to today's session. In addition to that, I would also like to warmly welcome all the participants joining via Zoom and all those participating via MixLR for today's session. Now, I would like to invite Venerable Bante to commence with the session for today, starting with the brief practice of mindfulness in session, same as what we had previously. Over to you, Bante. Thank you, Bante.
Dear Dharma friends, today, as the starting part of the session, we will do a small mindfulness practice. For today, I thought maybe we can do a sitting session. So you can adjust your seat and make sure that you are comfortable. Then you can close your eyes gently. Be aware that you are sitting. Just calmly notice what you can feel when you pay attention like that. When you pay attention like this, you will feel various things. Maybe you can feel the sounds from the surrounding. Maybe the thoughts are there. Mental images, thoughts, storytelling will appear. Maybe you can feel bodily sensations like your breath or the movement of the stomach according to the breath. Maybe heartbeat kind of a vibration. Pressure points in your body. So we feel a combination of these things. Sounds are there, thoughts, urges, mental images are there. Then bodily sensations are there. So our intention is to be mindful among them. Be aware that you feel these sensations. Be aware that your attention is jumping here and there. That very awareness we are practicing. Among all these things, you can be calm and peaceful. You can just become aware without judgment. You will get dragged into various things, but after a while, you can again practice this awareness. Again, bring your attention back to the present moment. Maybe pain will appear. Maybe sleepiness, other various sensations, feelings may appear, but still you can maintain your peace and just become aware about them. Various things may come, and after a while they may disappear. You are calm and peaceful among them. Let this natural process happen and just be the observer for a while. As a group, we will try and do this practice for a few more minutes. Okay, that's our practicing part of today's session. And with that, we can move forward to the next item.
Thank you for that session. So next we have the introduction on how to commence mindfulness for a beginner joining the program maybe for the first time today. So I will go through the few steps there. The first one is to, it's all shared on the screen. First one is to watch the two YouTube videos, which are on one on mindful walking and the next on mindful sitting. So once you have watched these, you would get a basic understanding of how to go ahead with the first session. And once you have done these two sessions and once you have watched the two YouTube videos, you can start the practice sessions, and you can allocate 10 minutes or 20 minutes to up to maybe 40 minutes or 1 hour each day for one mindful walking session. And after the mindful walking session, ideally the mindful sitting session should be commenced. And again, it could be between 10 minutes to 20 minutes, or extending up to 1 hour as per your time schedule on that day. And once you have done this for 3 or 4 days, you would have experienced some kind of progress. And you can put that into a report, and that will be the third step. That is to express in your own wording what you experienced. So write it down, and then you can describe, if it is mindful walking, you can describe how you focused, whether there were any disturbances, whether you felt body movement, whether you felt the pace of your walking, whether it became automatic after a while, things like that. And then you can proceed on to mindful sitting session. You can describe whether you felt a breath, or whether you felt bodily sensations or vibrations, whether you felt that your thoughts were disturbing you. You can write all that in your own words and submit to us. And the way to submit the report will be through either through the Google form or the email. I will put all these details into the Zoom chat section in the next few minutes. And you can, likewise, you can send us the report these ways. Either it's fine for us. And then you can look at the mindful session recordings in the link there. And then we would be having this session every Saturday. So you can join, and the reports that you send to us will be read out for Bhante to advise you. And that advice will be enormously supportive for you to proceed further. Not only yourself, it will be beneficial to all in the audience. And so I would like to request all of you be enthusiastic with regard to allocating time from your schedules and continuing with these sessions and sending us the reports. So with that, the finishing of the basic introduction, I would like to proceed and ask Lushani to read out the reports received for today's session. Thank you, Lushani.
Thank you, Namantha. Avasarai Mante. It's actually Arusha who is going to read today's reports. So I will proceed. Avasarai Mante. Today we have three reports. So I will read one at a time. The first report is from an adult. When I practice mindful sitting, I now find that when I watch my breath after a while, I no longer notice it, but begin to feel a swaying sensation in my body. And I start watching that sensation. It's a slight swaying from side to side that I feel that I'm sure cannot be visible to others, but something I feel. And as I keep watching this sensation, I feel a sense of such blissful happiness, and that makes my mind keep saying, I'm so happy, I'm so happy. And I immediately lose my mindful state and become very distracted and have many thoughts flowing in again. This has happened to me several times. Please advise me on why this is happening and how to proceed. Also, I find that it's so much easier for me to get into a mindful state when I'm sitting cross-legged than in any other posture. Is it just in my mind, or is that possible? With much thankfulness for these wonderful sessions. End of report.
Okay, so when you practice for a while, you can see the breath disappearing. And that's not a bad sign, actually. That's a good sign. A sign that you are progressing in your practice. If you observe your breath correctly, if you observe it for a while, if you keep attentive to it, then it will change. It won't stay permanent. The sensation won't stay forever. Instead, it will change. This change is a good sign. It's a sign that match with the universe. Everything is changing. So you can even feel how your breath is changing. So this change will evolve into certain ways, and you can see now you can't feel the breath. Still, you know that you are sitting and you can feel various movements of your body. Maybe it is shifting side to side or forward and backward or clockwise, anti-clockwise rotations. It will go through, and all these are just bodily sensations. And you can just become the observer, and you can feel some kind of a blissful nature in this posture. When breath disappears, you can feel this bliss. It's a heavenly bliss that you feel, and your mind may start storytelling depending on that. You can even feel this when you walk for a while, when you do mindful walking. You feel like you are light and you are walking on clouds. It's a heavenly bliss that you feel. So usually when we feel this bliss, this blissful state of our mind, we get attracted to it. We want to keep it forever. But if you are even further progressing in your practice, you will notice that after a while, this bliss disappears. Maybe various thoughts may come. Your mind starts commenting on this bliss. So this state goes away. So that same changing nature, that universal nature of change is happening. So you don't have to be discouraged. Instead, just let it happen. If you observe even further, you will notice that after a while, again, the bliss is coming. After a while, again, it is disappearing, the thoughts appearing. So you have to let this process happen and just become the observer. It goes through cycles, so you have to let it pass. If you see 3-4 cycles, then you know that if the bliss disappears, it will come again. If the thoughts come, they will settle down after a while. So you have to let it happen, go through a few cycles, and then you know how it is happening. So that's some valuable part in your practice. You have to let these things happen. Let the body do its movements, maybe side to side, front to back, or the clockwise rotation. Whatever happens, let it be. When the bliss come, be with that. When the thoughts come, be with that. And that way you have to let it pass. So that's the next part of your practice. You have to spend more and more time and see how this changing nature is happening. And if you can report back next time, okay, I observed like this, I stayed for a longer period, and this is what happened. I could feel the bliss, then it disappeared, then thoughts appeared, then again something else came. So just be patient and just observe and tell us next time what is happening after this state, after the distractions, after the thoughts, what is happening. Let them pass, let the thoughts pass, and see, just become the observer. So this is the natural rhythm of your practice. If you be patient, you will see the next part of the drama. Then you are asking a question about the sitting posture. So that too, you have to try various things. If you name this blissful nature as meditation, then you might say that cross-legged is the best. But when we say meditation, we refer to the mindfulness, the quality to be aware. So that awareness you can practice in whatever the posture you like. Maybe sitting, maybe standing, maybe the sleeping posture. Maybe even in Sirsasana, the yoga pose. Just that awareness. So you have this second question, I see, is from the idea that you are naming this blissful nature as the meditation. That's not. So for this type of a person, we would recommend doing walking meditation more and more. When you do walking meditation, you can't go into such a blissful state. You have to be aware about the surrounding. You have to do the walking process. So that posture is not so comfortable. And when you practice your mindfulness in such a posture, it gives the balance to your practice. Otherwise, you are putting too much weight into just one side of the balance. So try walking meditation, try different postures. You have to keep in mind you are practicing just the awareness, not anything else. Whatever the posture you are in, you can be aware. Last time we did the standing posture. While standing, can we be aware that we are standing? We may hear sounds, we feel the thoughts flowing, we feel the pressure on our feet. Still we are standing and we are aware. That is the practice. So you have to do this again and again. If you come back with another report, that will be valuable.
Thank you very much, Bhante. The second report combines both walking and sitting practice reflections. It is from an adult. Walking meditation. Walking on a tiled floor, I was aware of the weight of my body as pressure on the soles of my feet. The pressure shifted from one foot to the other with each step. I noted a cold sensation when each part of my foot made contact with the floor, from heel to sole to ball and finally toes. I also noted that there were parts of my foot, inside of the arch and between the ball and toes, where the cold sensation was not present. When I got to the end of my walking path, I noted that the sensations in my feet became more similar as I stood balanced on both feet. As I turned, I noted that I was lifting my foot from heel to toe and placing it from toe to heel. During my walking, there were also several times when I noted that my heel slipped slightly when I was placing it, causing a rubbing sensation. I also noted that a stickiness at the ball of my foot and my toes as I lifted each foot. Thoughts arose at different points of my practice, and I observed how some led to streams of thoughts of different durations. In each case, my attention returned to the sensations in my feet as I continued my practice. Sitting practice. Sat on the floor, supported by a cushion. I was aware of my breath as the air touched my nostril on the in-breath and my upper lip on the out-breath. I noted that the touch of the out-breath felt warmer than the in-breath. Additionally, I noted that the sensations in my left nostril was more prominent on the in-breath, and that the touch of air on my upper lip was also more noticeable on the left-hand side of my face. As my practice continued, I noticed the subtle touch of air in my right nostril during the out-breath and how it felt cooler than the sensation of air on the left nostril and upper lip. This awareness continued during the period of sitting, only briefly interrupted by thoughts and occasional movements of my jaw when swallowing and yawning. Report ends.
Okay, in both walking and sitting reports, you have a lot of details. So that's a very good sign that you can observe all the subtle details. And that means your mindfulness is sharp and you are able to observe all the little details in these processes. And that we can take as a very good sign. And you have to see when you do the walking, you can observe. When you do the sitting, you can observe. But after your formal practice, what is happening? Maybe you will go for a break. Maybe you will do some other task. So when you do them as well, try and be aware. Try and see whether I can be mindful while doing these activities. How can I continue my awareness throughout the day? So if you practice like that, then there is no starting point to your practice and there is no ending point. Instead, this is more like living. Whatever the task you do, you just become aware and do it with attention. And then again, you move to the next task. So many things we are doing in our day-to-day life. And we usually think about other things and do them. But if you just pay attention, just become aware that you are drinking something, you are eating something, then brushing, whatever the activity you do, just become aware. That very awareness, if you practice, then little by little, you realize that you are developing this ability to be more present. Be with the whatever activity you are doing. More and more you practice this, you realize that your mind is in a more and more blissful, calm state. So that's the aim. So when you do these sitting, walking sessions, try and see after finishing this formal practice, what is happening. Okay, I'm doing this activity. Can I be aware? What do I feel? So just become the observer. Then after doing that, you talk to somebody. While talking also, you can just be aware that you are talking. Maybe once in a while, you feel your body, the pressure points, the posture you can feel. Just pay attention to them. That way, we try to continue this practice as long as we are aware, as long as we do our day-to-day life. So the meditation becomes more like living. Instead of a separate part of your day, separate portion of your day, this is more like living. So when you brush, you live. When you eat something, you live. When you drink something, you live. Whatever the activity that you do, if you do it with attention, you are living. So try and do that change. That is the next step in your practice. So if you can focus a little bit on that and maybe come back with the feedback. Okay, I did this with mindfulness and this is what I felt. Thoughts came, various sounds I heard, but still I could be aware that I was having something. I was brushing my teeth. So that's the advice I want to give you.
Thank you very much, Bhante. The third report is also from an adult and combines both walking and sitting practice. Walking meditation. Walked on tiled floor 25 steps. Observed the lifting, moving, placing of each foot. The pressure applied on each area of the foot varied with each step. Observed the turn which happened in 4 steps. Although in 3 of the turning points, the foot was raised, moved, and placed with the heel first and then the toes on several occasions, the whole foot was placed at the 4th and final stage. Occasional pains observed mainly on the right side, which passed quickly, and once on left leg. The thoughts were not distracting, and although mind wandered for short spells, it came back to feet quite quickly. On a few occasions, observed mind coming back to left foot being placed a few times, and another time the right being raised. After half an hour, felt whole body becoming very hot and sweaty, but top of feet especially, the top of arches were cold. This passes after about 3 laps. Toward the end of the session, noted mild electric shock-like sensations all over the body, including the head, followed by a cold wave. This passed quickly too. Walked 1 hour. Sitting meditation. Primary object, watching breath. Observed in and out breath, shorter in breath, which was cooler than out-breath. Mind wandered but came back to breath. Pain noted and some images were observed related to thoughts. These came and went. After nearly an hour, felt bored and wanted to open eyes but continued to sit. As there was a great urge to get up before the alarm went, did metta and 32 parts of body meditation. Finally, about 3 to 4 minutes before the alarm went, changed position mindfully due to a pain which I had been observing, which changed in sight and severity. Meditated for 1 hour. End of report.
Okay, in this report, towards the end of it, you can see a very nice comment that there's this urge to do something. Now, when you practice mindfulness, initially, you are doing something. You try to observe your breath. You try to just be aware only about your feet, the sensations, the ground. That type of a doing is there. But when you practice more and more, you realize although the mind wanders away, it comes back naturally. So you don't have to do anything. Just be the observer. And if you just observe calmly, you notice that it goes away for a while. Maybe a few thoughts happen. Then again, it comes back to your left leg. Again, it comes back to your right leg. So this process is naturally happening. You don't have to do anything. Instead, you have to just become the observer. Now the practice is to do nothing and just be. But doing nothing, although we think it is easy, it's really hard. You can see towards the end of this report, you can see how many urges were there, how many plans were there, how many ideas were there. You want to open your eyes, you want to do some other meditation, you want to reflect upon the parts of your body. So various things come, various ideas come, various plans come. This is to do something. Doing nothing, we don't like. So when it comes to this world, doing nothing is the hardest thing to do. It's not easy. Although when we say it feels like it is easy, it is easy. But when you try it, you see so many urges come. So many ideas come. So many plans come. So initially, we get caught. Initially, we surrender to these plans, these ideas. We open our eyes. But when you practice more and more, maybe do this, experience this for 100 times, then little by little, you develop this ability to do nothing. Although the urges are there, you have the potential to just be. You can just become aware about the urges, but still you have the ability to stay without reacting. So when you do it again and again, this ability is increasing. That comes with the practice. So this is a very nice part of your practice. Now the practice is to do nothing, just be. But it's so hard. Various ideas, various thoughts come. And boredom is the very first sign. First the boredom comes, then the ideas come. This is so lazy, this is so boring. I have to do something. If you go in and sit in front of a TV, then that boredom is not there anymore. If you go and talk to somebody, then that boredom is not there anymore. So that's the challenge. Try and again see what is this urge to do something. Can I just be? Can I just do nothing and stay? It's very hard. But when you do it again and again, maybe when you do it for hundreds of times, then you develop this ability to not react and just be. You develop this ability to do nothing. So only suggestion is that do this again and again, experience this again and again, and with time, you start to appreciate this boredom. You start to appreciate just being. So that's my idea towards this report.
Much thanks, Bhante, for that advice. That concludes the three reflection reports that have been received for this week. But now I would like to invite participants who have joined us today, if they would like to ask a question directly, to raise their hand in Zoom, and we will give you an opportunity. So I don't see any hands being raised. It seems we don't have any questions. Oh, sorry, I spoke too soon. Gyante, you have raised your hand. Please go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you, Arusha. I've got one observation and one question. The question actually relates in some ways to Bhante's session 2 weeks ago.
Excuse me, Gihanta. I apologize. Your audio is not very clear. I think you need to speak closer to the microphone or a bit louder, please.
Okay, I will try again. Does that work?
It's still fading out a bit.
That work better, Arosha? Yeah,
that is much better. Thank you.
Okay. So I have one question and one observation. The question relates to Bhante's session from 2 weeks ago, Bhante, but also connected to today. So you mentioned that being in the present moment can be very blissful, can be very happy. But as you have suggested even today, referring to one of the reflection reports, it's very hard to be in the present moment. So if you take some other activity, like say watching TV or eating a piece of chocolate, to get the happiness is easy, very easy, and you get the happiness. So if the present moment provides happiness, my question is, why is it difficult for us to be in the present moment more naturally? That's my question. And my observation comes from the last week's session, where you talked about the mind being like a wishing tree. I just wanted to say that that sermon was incredibly inspirational, and I really enjoyed listening to that, and the importance of, I guess, disciplining our mind, because yes, things unfold as we direct our mind to that. So again, wanted to thank you for that sermon from last week. Thank you.
Okay, now in your question, you compare having a piece of chocolate, the happiness, the bliss that you get from it, to the blissful nature of this practice. So when we have that comparison, it's a bit difficult to you because, you know, when you come to this practice, this is more like we are talking about much deeper truth than just the blissful nature that we get from something material. So when you practice only, you can see this real bliss. And today, when we discuss in the talk also, we have this type of explanation. So it's more like the space that's outside. When we are in this world, we feel the gravity. And we are always doing, talking, referring to the gravity. We take it as a norm. But when we go outside, when we go beyond the field of gravity, then the whole thing is different. Newton's laws are not applicable there. Maybe you have to develop some other thing. So that type of a change we are talking. So when we refer to having a bliss by eating a piece of chocolate, then that's, we are referring to the gravity type of a situation. But when we practice, we realize eating a piece of chocolate is fun. But that we can't compare to this type of a blissful nature in our mind. It is much deeper thing that we are talking. That deeper nature you had to experience for yourself. So that, try and see how you can experience, how you can be mindful. Don't try to go after the bliss. Instead, just be present. And as a result of being present, you can see this blissful nature in your mind. So the very first report, if I can remember correctly, that person was referring to this blissful nature. And his mind was making this comment, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. that happiness is not from eating something. So that's much deeper happiness that we are talking about. Much deeper blissful nature that we are talking about. It's like going beyond the field of gravity. So as long as we stay in this field of gravity, we can't really experience. Now there are more opportunities to travel to the space. So more and more opportunities are opening up. So you have to try and see, how can I go beyond this field of gravity? How can I go beyond these material things and experience this real nature, real blissful nature that's inside my mind? So many people, they go after this chocolate kind of a happiness. They go after money, they go after professions, they go after women, they gather all these various things. After doing that for 80 or so years, if you get close to them and ask, you got all these things, you are enjoying them all your life, you didn't have any difficulty, are you happy? Can you die peacefully now? What will this person say? He will say, I need one more piece of chocolate. Then I can be blissful. Then I can die peacefully. This is never ending. So instead, we try to create this bliss without any material things. This blissful nature is not from gaining anything. Instead, just letting go. Not by doing anything, instead by not doing anything. For that, you have to work, of course. For that, you have to try. It won't come easily. The natural way is to evolve. The natural way is to go after material things. The natural way is to go after money, go after sexual pleasure. So most of the people, they are going after that. The direction of the herd mentality. But one or two, only a few people, they travel in the opposite direction. Instead of trying to achieve something, they just let go. Instead of going towards the finishing mark, they run in the opposite direction. So no competition, nobody is chasing after them because they are running in the wrong direction. According to the world, it is the wrong direction. So that type of a practice we are talking. So you have to experience this and experience this blissful nature. Be mindful, try to do walking, sitting. And if you come with that experience, then you will see the answer to this question. You will experience it. It's not like me answering. Instead, you will feel the answer. So that's my idea towards this.
Thank you very much, Bhante. And thank you for that question. I'd also like to thank everyone who shared their practice reports, which have been very beneficial to everyone to gain further insight and advice from Bhante on all of our practice. And so with that, I will thank Bhante once more and hand back to Namantha to continue the program. Thank you, Namantha.
Thank you very much, Arusha, for presenting the reports and conducting the Q&A session. Great work. Thank you. And Bhante, thank you so much for the wonderful insights and guidance during the Q&A session. I'm sure we will all find that beneficial to progress our practice further and deeper. The next item on our agenda for today's session is the Dhamma talk from Bhante. I would like to invite Bhante to commence with the Dhamma talk for today's session. Over to you, Bhante.
Dear Dhamma friends, today also we will take a few minutes to discuss a certain aspect of our practice. And I don't know how, but I see the direction towards this talk. Even in the reflection reports, you have certain ideas towards this. And even the questions raised, you have certain idea towards this. So we have a good environment to discuss this topic today. So let me start with a small story, a Zen story about a Zen master and his method of teaching. So one day this person came to him. He was a commander of the army in this area. And he came to this Zen teacher and introduced himself. He told this teacher that the commander of this area, I have so many people under my command. And this is the sword that I got when I received this position. And the sword was offered by the king of the country. And this commander, he had a question to this Zen teacher. He asked, he wanted to know about heaven and hell. So he asked from this teacher, Bhante, is there a place that is called heaven? How could I know more details about that place? Then again, he asked, is there a place that is called hell? How could I know more and more details about that place? So that was his question. Then this teacher responded in a weird manner. He was in an angry fashion. He was asking, are you the commander of this region? You don't appear to be a man in such caliber. You see, you are not too tall. Who took you into the army? So this teacher was blaming this person. Instead of a commander, you look like a beggar. So this person was so angry after these comments. And with the final comment, he took his sword out. He wanted to do something to this person who insulted him. Then that teacher replied saying, see, that's the state of hell. You see the state in your mind now? That is the hell. Then this person got the message. He was so ashamed of himself and he just dropped the sword. And he apologized saying, I did something bad. I got angry with you. I am sorry, he said. Then again, that teacher, the Zen master replied, now see, that is the heaven that's inside your mind. That is the very nature of heaven inside your mind. So this person, he was giving us directions how to observe hell, how to become aware about heaven in your very mind. So every day when you start early morning till you fall asleep, your mind is always going from hell to heaven, again come back to earth, again go to hell, again go to heaven. It is always changing the state.
So you don't have to go to hell and experience it. Instead, if you observe your very mind, certain occasions you are in hell. You can't withstand this pressure. It is so difficult. Again and again, you are getting poisoned by anger, by jealousy, by lust. And that is the state of hell. Then once in a while, you feel happy. You feel grateful. You feel thankful. You are being generous. So that's the very state of heaven in your mind. So every day, our state of mind is shifting here and there. Every moment, our state of mind is shifting here and there. So it is said that if you know the two ends very well, what are the two ends? One is the pleasurable state of mind. One is the painful state of mind, pain and pleasure. So this topic, we touched a little bit in the last time, in the last week's talk. When you feel pain inside your mind, when the painful sensations are there, you are in hell. When you feel pleasurable sensations, you are in heaven. So our mind is again and again shifting between hell and heaven. Some people, they are so unhappy, even the aura around them, it feels like hell. Even just by talking to them, you feel this negative energy coming towards you. Some people, they are so thankful. They are so happy, even just by being around them, just by spending some time with them, you feel this bliss. Even maybe without words, you feel this bliss. So if you know these two ends, then you will little by little become aware about the middle. What is the middle? That's the neutral feeling. So whatever the mind object that you experience based on these three categories. It may be painful sensation. It may be pleasurable sensation. It may be neutral. So imagine, if some incident come to your mind, past incident, separation from a loved one, then immediately your mind experience this painful sensation. Again, after a while, let's say some other incident came to your mind. Maybe a time that you enjoyed very much. Then suddenly you feel this pleasurable sensation in your mind. So whatever the mind object that comes to your mind, you experience in these ways. Now imagine now in your surrounding, you hear so many sounds. Most of them, you don't even pay attention to them. They just come and go. Maybe you have some attention towards my voice. But think about the other sounds. They are neutral. They give a neutral sensation to us. So whatever the mind object come to your mind, you experience in these ways. It could be pleasurable, it could be painful, it could be neutral. But this neutral thing, we are ignorant. We don't feel it very well. Instead, we feel the pain, we feel the pleasure. We feel the hell, we feel the heaven. So within few seconds, you can just, you could be in heaven, but due to a phone call, maybe you heard some news, then suddenly you go to hell. Hell state of mind. Maybe you spend days there, you cry. You feel your mind aching. It's not like a body ache. When mind aches, it's really difficult. So this change we can always experience. Pleasure to pain. Pleasure to pain. This change we can feel. So usually we are always attached to these sensations. Last time I tried to explain it using a graph. When you feel pleasure, it is like your graph is going in the positive direction. And when the pleasure disappears, it is coming towards the zero. Disappearing pleasure is painful. And when you feel pain, it's like the graph is going towards the negative side. And when the pain disappears, it is coming towards the zero. And again, when the pain disappears, it is pleasurable. So you can't have pain without pleasure. You can't have pleasure without pain. It's like two sides of a coin. If you take one side, then the other will automatically come. So the idea is to become aware of these two ends. So the in our practice, let's say we take breath as our primary object. We take sensations of our feet as our primary object. That very sensation is neutral. That is why it is so hard to keep your attention there. Because your mind doesn't like neutral. Then all the pleasurable things come into your mind. You go after them. You forget the breath. You create these thoughts, mental images, all the ideas. Then again, after a while, the past trauma comes to your mind. The incidents from the past, the wounds, then you feel the pain. By paying attention to our breath, by paying attention to this neutral feeling, we get to know the pleasurable and the painful sensations. So the idea is not to prevent them from coming. Instead, just let them flow. You will see these thoughts appearing again and again. Some of them are painful. Some of them are pleasurable. And it is said, by paying attention to the middle, you get to know these two ends. Pain and the pleasure. Then said, if you are not attached to the middle, then you will become blissful. You will become peaceful. So how to let go of the middle? Now initially we get hold to the breath. Initially we try and pay attention to the steps. We hold on to the middle because we want to experience the two ends, the plane and the pleasure. By holding on to the middle, by holding on to the breath, by holding on to the steps, we experience the pleasure and the pain. But this very practice is ever evolving, and you will see that your breath is disappearing. That neutral feeling that you hold on to is disappearing. By allowing it to disappear, we let go of the middle even. So this is a story about two ends and a middle. By holding on to the middle, we get to know two ends. And when the middle disappears, we are letting go of even the middle. We have to someday let go of the breath and just be. Just let the process happen and just become the observer. Then you will see the pain is coming. Again, the pleasure is coming. Again, the pain is coming. Again, the pleasure is coming. So if you have an attachment to the neutral feeling, you don't like these thoughts. You don't like these distractions. You say, thoughts were distracting me. Thoughts are bothering me. You say, sounds, they bother me. That's because now we are attached to the middle. But with time, you realize you are naturally allowing this change to happen. Sometimes the thought will come. You feel this disturbance. Your peace is broken. But when the thoughts disappear, then again your mind is peaceful. And you feel this blissful nature. So let this happen again and again till your mind shows no resistance to the thoughts and other objects that are appearing. That's how we try to let go of the middle even. If you get hold to the middle and just let go of the two ends, that won't work. Because still you are holding on to something. Still you are holding on to the neutral feeling. Instead, now is the time to let go even the neutral feeling. Let the pain come and disappear. Let the pleasure come and disappear. When it happens again and again, you realize that there's no resistance in my mind to this change. My mind is accepting this change. When your mind is starting to accept this change, you feel the boredom. you feel the need to do something. Maybe you want to go and eat something, eat a piece of chocolate, go sit in front of a computer. That is again going after pain or pleasure. Because this neutral feeling is so boring. You need some kind of a change in your life. As soon as you open your eyes, that boredom is gone. As soon as you get up from the sitting, that boredom is gone. And you feel this energy in your mind. But the practice is to just be with this boredom, see how again and again the pain is coming. When the pain is coming, there's a small resistance in your mind. When the pain is disappearing, you welcome it. Then when the pleasure is coming, you welcome the pleasure. When the pleasure disappears, you again, there's this resistance in your mind. So you have to practice again and again till there is no welcoming or no resistance. Whatever that comes, you accept in your mind. Thoughts will come, you accept them. They could be painful or they could be pleasurable. You accept them. Various mental images will come, you accept them. You experience pain or pleasure according to them. Again and again, you let this process happen. And you are becoming little by little peaceful. This peace is not dependent on pain or pleasure or neutral. Instead, there is no sensation. And that nothingness we are accepting in our mind. When you practice more and more, you realize there's this time gap in my sitting. I couldn't feel anything. I'm sure that I was aware, but still, there was a slip in my time. Maybe 5 minutes, I can't recall. Only after waking up, I know that last few minutes, I was somewhere else, in some other world, it seems. So this is the point where you go beyond the gravity, the field of gravity. And when you go beyond the gravity, Newton laws are not applicable anymore. So you have to be open, be welcoming, and see what are the new laws in this unknown world. This world is beyond your senses. It's beyond your known world. And when you accept, when you welcome that unknown world, you are blissful. There's no pain, no pleasure, no neutral sensation. As long as you are there, there's no disturbance. If pain comes, it comes with pleasure. If pleasure comes, it comes with pain. But if there are no sensation, then you are blissful. So the practitioner, they experience this time slip in their mind. Even during day-to-day life, they suddenly realize last 5 minutes, I was in some other world. While walking, they realize last few steps, I was somewhere else. I didn't feel anything. While sitting, they experience more and more. There are these time slips. Those are signs that your mind is accepting this unknown nature. Your mind is going beyond the senses. And that is the true quality of your mind. If you accept your senses, if you accept your sense objects, then you have a person, you have ideas, you have a body, all these things come into place. But that is only like 4% of the universe. If you let go of this 4%, then you become the owner to the remaining 96%. It says, let go of a wave to become the ocean. Ocean is vast. You can't measure it. There is no starting point or the ending point to it. And everything is connected. And when you accept this real nature of your mind, we all are connected. I'm in a certain part of this world. Then some of the people, they are from UK. Some of the people, they are from Australia. Still, when you accept that 96%, we all are connected. We all are humans. We all become the ocean. Instead of becoming a wave, instead of creating a body, instead of creating concepts, we let go of this wave. We let go of this 4% and accept the true nature. Become the entire universe. Become the entire ocean. And there is no end. Nobody can measure. And you are just a part of this system. This unlimited universe. Through the practice, we are accepting that very nature in our mind. Little by little, we go. Because if you suddenly go, you will go mad. So initially, as the very first step, you take your breath, try to observe your breath, introduce this neutral feeling to your mind. And when you introduce it, you feel the pain, you feel the pleasure. Little by little, when you observe few breaths, again and again, when you observe few steps, again and again, then you are get to know more and more about the pain and the pleasure. You get to know more and more details. And when you get to know more and more details, little by little, you can let go of this neutral feeling even. So that way, little by little, step by step, we go into this unknown world. Through that unknown world, we all are connected. We all become one type of a universe. And I suggest that all of you can try again and again, practice this awareness. Through that awareness, you can also travel into this unknown world. You too can find the peace in your mind. So with that wish, I would like to end today's talk.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for yet again a successful and valued, inspiring talk on mindfulness. And I believe we can all summon enthusiasm and courage to develop mindfulness further in our day-to-day life and in practice sessions. Next is for me to thank Bhante and all of you on behalf of the organizers for participating in this session. I would like to thank, with permission to speak your name, Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero, for taking time out from Bhante's busy schedule and contributing to the program and the session with the talk and the advice on the Q&A session. It is much appreciated from all of us. And then I would like to thank paying special gratitude to Most Venerable Bhante Dhammajeeva Mahatheru, the Chief Abbot of the Nisarvana Forest Monastery, for instructing and instructing us and for asking us to initiate this program. I must thank all the organizers for their efforts in initiating the program, as well as for their great enthusiasm and commitment to maintain the program. Then, of course, it is the participants that are targeted in this program. So I see that you are submitting reports on practice sessions, mindful sitting and mindful walking. It is highly appreciated, and your weekly attendance to this session on every Saturday is highly appreciated. I must thank all of you on behalf of organizers. So thank you. I invite you to keep moving ahead with your practice. And then with that, I would like to confirm that this is the end of session on mindfulness for today. Next up, I have an announcement on the websites for Nisarvana and Satipasala. I would share the screen now. I think you can see my screen there. So this is the website for Mithirigala Nisarvana, and you can visit the website on www.nisarvana.lk and find out further information and also archives on audios and videos related to mindful practices. And then next, I would like to showcase Satipasala, which is on the web link www.satipasala.org, and you can gain familiarity with all the programs from Satipasala, which is a massive organization currently to promote mindfulness in Sri Lanka and overseas. Next, I would like to move on to any. I will stop sharing the screen now. Now, I would like to open the floor for any comments or questions or suggestions for future sessions. So if you, any of you have any anything, any comment to add to today's session or for future sessions as feedback, you can raise the Zoom hand and you can speak. Okay, I can see that there's no one raising the hand for any questions or feedback. So with that, we can end up today's session, and I wish you a very mindful week ahead, and wish that you get the opportunity to practice further mindful sessions and practice mindfulness in your day-to-day activities. All the best to you. Thank you. I would end the session now.